back, guys. I am Sean, and this is...
That is not my name.
...a Spartacus Rewatch Podcast. So this is episode 4, guys, The Thing in the Pit. We are one-third of the way through the first season here. This was directed by Jesse Warren, and it premiered on Starz February 12th, 2010. The synopsis reads, after a poor showing in the arena, Spartacus is consigned to the pit, a place of pain and suffering. So my quick fact for the episode is you will see Spartacus fighting in what is known as the pits. Think of it like an underground bare-knuckle unsanctioned fight, placing large wagers, no missio, no honor. I thought I would share with you how the pits kind of worked. So before each duel, the master of ceremony would roll a dice to determine the fighter's weapons. This can range from a short spear to a rusted gladius to bare knuckles that they call the caestus, which could also be littered with nails and such on the ends of them to make them more dangerous. So most of these fights took place underneath whorehouses or shady inns along the Tiber River, and had loose connections to the Death Cult of Mercury. Now, if you're unaware what the Death Cult of Mercury is, that was a ritualistic cult of magi under the teachings of Hermes, who was actually believed to be the god Hermes himself. So we're going to get into the episode now. So the opening scene, we see Spartacus dragged to the cliff face with a pissed off Bodiatus standing above him. Spartacus is obviously full of regret, and Bodiatus tells him that his little mistake has made looking for his wife very problematic, because it all requires coin.
What? Do you shoot magic coins out of your ass? If so, squat, produce!
So he tells Spartacus that the only place that he can fight now to earn this coin is in the pits. Inside with Asher and Barca, they try to remove the cloth from Spartacus' arm. He feebly tries to fight them off, but Quintus Bodiatus tells him that the cloth should remain here at the Ludus because he's likely to lose that arm. Which tells you a lot about the pits itself, very lawless.
I think your wife's binding should remain here. Where you're going, you might lose it, along with an arm.
So the Doctore is pissed off that Bodiatus is going to the pits and feels that his father would not approve of this for the Ludus.
It is a place of pain and suffering. Beast dying without honor. Your father would never...
The decision is made. The beast cannot be tamed, it must be unleashed.
Lucretia is also not a fan.
Quintus. Dispatching the Thracian brings me relief. You descending into the pits does not.
Though getting rid of the Thracian makes her, like, super wet. It's ridiculous how happy she is to... at the thought of getting rid of Spartacus. So Crixus now trains with Varro. So that's pretty amazing. I mean, you may not get to see Varro fight in the arena very often, but he is definitely quickly becoming well-liked inside of the Ludus and is proving himself quite well amongst the gladiators. So it looks like Kurza and Spartacus are going to fight in the pits. And then a quick transition proves that Kurza will most certainly die in the pits. And he loses his fucking face. The crowd is super bloodthirsty, by the way. And the guy that destroyed Kurza is a fucking madman. His name is Ixion. Like, he literally wears the faces of the people he has beaten. It's fucking insane. Ovidius returns. In this, you remember him from a few episodes back where he randomly popped up to talk about money owed for grains. Yeah, well, that scene kind of comes around to itself, and obviously Quintus can't repay him, but Ovidius calls him Janus, which I completely love. It just means that he's being a two-faced cunt, pretty much.
Words spewed by Janus from both sides of his face.
Going back to the Ludus, Navia gives back the necklace to Crixus. And Crixus and Lucretia fuck again. He just destroys that booty. But Lucretia notices the necklace.
Oh, Mook,
So clearly, her vagina is now a waterfall. Navia peeks in on them fucking, and she's super jealous. So we're back in the pit, and it's payment time for Spartacus. So the two competitors, Miramax is one, Spartacus the other. They basically both get brass knuckles. The only difference is that Miramaxes have spikes on them, so advantage Miramax really. It's a fairly quick, well choreographed fight, but Spartacus wins by jamming a giant fucking hook through the guy's fucking jaw, and through his mouth. Bodyotis is quick to just shout to Butt Doctori to just stitch him up and have him fight again. So he's just pretty much thinking of running him into the ground.
Give him a moment's rest, then fight him again.
Sora and Spartacus have a quick dream sequence exchange. I love her poignant scenes when she pops up. They're really well done, they're very meaningful, and they're very intricate and important to the plot. So Lucretia is still unsure about Quintus being in the pits, because if he dies, she'll be forced to marry another man, because they do not have an heir.
You know the law, without an heir, I'd be forced to marry another. Is that what you want, somebody else's hands upon?
I want everything. Yeah, can afford nothing.
Lucretia talks about returning the Emerald Necklace. Quintus does not want that done, and tells her to keep the necklace and the rediscovered necklace amongst her mother's belongings. That is the necklace that would be what I'm talking about there, is the necklace that Crixus actually got in Navia, but now it's under it's in Lucretia's possessions. So back amongst the gladiators, Varro asks about Kurza.
What of Kurza?
Fallen. Never to rise whole.
And obviously, you know, he's sent to the hereafter. And Hamilcar tells Spartacus that he cannot sleep where the gladiators sleep because he is a dog.
This is where gladiators sleep, not dogs.
Hold your tongue.
He stays. He waits beside Kurza in the afterlife.
Varro tries to cheer him up by telling him to pay no mind to the gladiators.
Spartacus, pay no mind to those inbred fucks.
You know, just being a really great bro.
Sleep then. And dream of better days.
Now, Lucretia is selling her emerald necklace back to the dealer. He lowballs her, obviously. And Solonius offers to buy it so that she may keep it. But she takes a lowball offer. And basically tells Solonius to fuck off.
May the gods shrivel your cock.
Solonius, before leaving, hopes that fortune returns to them soon so they may once again meet in the arena. And Solonius also states that he knows that Bodyotis is in the pits, trying to win back earnings. Doctori reminds everyone to pay attention to him.
Study the flaws of your opponent. Strike. Your mind as well as your soul. Fail to use your wits in the arena and risk tumbling after Spartacus into the pits. A man is no base humor to be laughed at. He is a tale of caution. Ponder on that.
The gladiators eat, and Pietros offers Spartacus porridge and water. Barca tells him that porridge and water are for the men, and then tells him that Pietros only needs his D. Like, literally, he basically says that he will be well fed with, you know, his dick. Asher asks about the necklace in front of the others, and Crixus tosses him to the ground. And Barca asks this.
What necklace does this shit speak of? It's nothing. I've just forgotten. You mad fuck. A trinket for Lucretia's pet, wasn't it? Rest your mind. I'm of no interest to any of you. Nor her to you. If you value your cock attached to your balls.
See, Barca isn't just this dumb brute. He understands what's going on inside the Ludus. I think it's all because he's basically the white right-hand man of Badiatis. Barca then readies Spartacus for more fights in the pit.
Rise, dog. More death awaits.
So this is going to be the halfway point of the episode. Getting there quick. It's more of a visual episode in this one, where it's mostly fighting amongst the pits. We are going to get a sponsorship break and an ad break announcement. So we'll be right back after this.
May the gods fare you better, Thracian. For both our sakes. Do something!
So we're back. And we're in the pit. Another well-choreographed fight. An even fight with great striking blows, but Spartacus once again comes out on top when he junk punches the guy and puts the guy's eye out, rolls him over to his back, chokes him out, and then snaps his neck.
That's how you send that dog to the afterlife.
Pretty brutal. You know, it really shows that Spartacus is more into the street level kind of fighting, which really works for him more. Fucking brutal.
Spartacus! Victor!
Spartacus sees Sora briefly in the crowd, and he is made to fight again. Another match. You only see him bring down a gladius with a guttural scream, and then blood covers the screen, so you don't really see that, but it's more of a... It's striking, visually, definitely. Crixus meets with Navia. She tells him that she doesn't like seeing the necklace around Lucretia's neck. Women of that time could be so strange, but you love them, though. The women. And Navia and Crixus begin arguing before they share a long kiss. And we go into a Sora dream sequence again that includes so many great quotes, really, within these exchanges. It's so poignant and, again, very beautiful.
How much longer? How much blood until we're free?
Soon.
Varro is there in this scene now, and Sora keeps popping up.
You look like shit. I've endured worse. What man could still count himself of this world?
This world. All it holds is suffering.
It will end one day. And we will be reunited as gladiators.
Spartacus just wants to be free of everything.
Mandrake root, acquired from Asher. Chewed to numb the pain.
Take it.
I can't. I need what remains of my senses to save you. Save me from what? Spartacus.
Asher and Quintus are talking about balancing of the debts, but they're not quite there yet. marital strife about debts and the fact that Lucretia sold the Emerald Necklace. You know, Quintus is kind of upset, but Lucretia kind of offers him words, basically like, listen, dude, we're married, we're in this together, and you kind of got to fucking deal with me being a worrisome woman where I care about you.
Your worries are my worries, Quintus. You're never alone.
So, talking about Spartacus and how much longer he'll live as he goes back to the pits.
Even the walking dead eventually return to the grave.
He once again refuses Mandrake Root, which is fucking silly and stubborn. You know, the gods have rewarded him.
You have fought well, Spartacus. The gods reward you.
Is what Badiatis says. And, Sura's been found? Wait, what?
Promise is kept.
Sura is standing outside of the Ludus, near the cliff face. And Spartacus runs over to her and drops to his knees.
Sura.
I will always be with you. Even in death. The rains are coming. Save me before they wash everything away.
But we realize that it's all just a dream and it's all in his head. I feel like I just keep playing entire clips between Sura and Spartacus' interactions, but they're just so fucking well written and acted, and they're just incredibly important. So I feel like giving you that option to listen, even if you're not, you know, watching along with me. You know, you definitely need to hear him. Barca seems to be softening on Spartacus.
He saves his fury for the pits. Place you wouldn't last a fucking breath.
And he tells Quintus about his dream. Spartacus does.
The gods. They came to me last night. In a dream.
What did they show you?
The truth. Your profit from my blood ends tonight.
Refuse to fight and I will cease my attempts to find your wife.
I have to save her. Before the rains come.
Give way to your meaning, you mad fuck.
The odds remain high in my favor.
Still.
Then bet everything you have against me.
You would die in the pits willingly to see my fortunes rise?
Yes. If you will hold to rest my life from the Syrian with a piece of it.
What's to keep me to this bargain once your blood is spilled?
Honor. The promise of vengeance from the afterlife. If you betray it.
Deal is struck. Make it appear a sincere fight.
And Badiatis agrees, which, I mean, he's literally willing to give up his life for his wife. You know, even though she'll be a slave, he knows that there's not much he can do about that. And at least if she's with Badiatis, he won't have to worry about her getting raped or getting passed around by other people. So the final pit fight. Ixion is still wearing Kurz's face for his face. I just needed to say that, because it's just fucking, it's amazing. So, Spartacus actually strikes a first blow here. Assassins are seen in the crowd, very briefly, as they start to move slowly towards Badiatis. Spartacus, even though he's getting his ass kicked, notices the assassins and screams, which alerts Barca, who takes care of one fairly easily. But he does not notice the second one, and Spartacus quickly kills Ixion and then tosses a long-handled axe through the crowd, killing the remaining assassin, which is fucking amazing. So much for dying and making a profit, though. But what would you do? As, you know, Badiatis, would you be grateful that Spartacus even saved him? Or kill him because he cost him everything? You know, it's a pretty tough thing to have to deal with. But back at the Ludus, Badians is pissed that they were just common slaves.
Slaves. They sent common fucking slaves to kill Badians! Common fucking slaves! Fuck!
And asks Asher to discover who their master was. Badianus and Lucretia chat about the gods finally gracing them with a child.
Perhaps the gods will finally grace us with a child in return.
If they, the only way they can get a child is if they grace the gods by sacrificing some, like a goat or something, at the beginning of the month. So apparently it's the beginning of a new month. Lucretia thought that Spartacus was dead, but is instead told that they lost a substantial sum. And she calls Spartacus a plague.
Thracian is dead.
No. He yet lives. And the wager is lost.
That Thracian. He brings nothing but shame on our house.
Were it not for him, you would be a widow. He saved my life in the pits this night.
A place that you would never have been if it weren't for him. Ended as it should have been when he stepped into the arena doomed for execution. Every day that the Thracian yet lives, I fear that his curse becomes our own.
So, final scene, Spartacus is tore up from the floor up and is summoned by Badiatis. Doctore escorts him and is told that he's cursed. But the promise is kept.
My wife thinks you're cursed by the gods. I'm inclined to agree.
Find no argument.
The rational course would be to end your miserable life before it further infects mine.
A promise was made. You would find Sura.
If you died in the pits, then here you stand alive.
As do you.
Promise is kept. I will continue the search for her. You saved my life. Gods are not.
And he gets his cloth back. That's it, guys. The episode 4 is in the fucking books. Just to go over the totality of this episode, we really get to see Spartacus kind of in what the kind of fights that he would normally be in Thrace, where it was more kind of street knowledge and streetwear, where he was just basically bare knuckle fighting people. You really get to see him more in his element. For next week, I'm going to have my co-host for Family with Benefits on for episode 5, because that is, I feel, the episode that will definitely reel you in completely, and I can't wait to see his reaction. I really wanted to watch it with him, but I'm not going to do that. I want him to just take it all in. Because it's one of them it's that type of episode. It's just wholly fucking amazing. This episode really proved to me that Spartacus still really only cares for the life of his wife, and that Batiatus is still trying to keep him as a pet for coin. So it really solidified, this episode really solidified Batiatus and Spartacus's relationship for the next few episodes at least. My aw, yeah. Kill of the Week, which is back for this week. Ixion killing Kurza and removing his face to then wear for the remaining fights is fucking insane. It's a power move. It shows you just how fucking crazy this son of a bitch is. But that's the pits, man. That's just how they do. So we'll see you all next week for Shadow Games, Episode 5. So glory to Rome.